All right. Hey, let's turn on over to 2 Samuel chapter 11. And as we're getting going and through the book of Samuel, and yeah, we're hustling through the book of Samuel. We're almost halfway through it. Last night, sometimes I think when they can hear. It, hello? Can you guys hear me all right? Can you guys hear me over there? You can't? You can't hear me?
Well, there's one that needs to be loud.
How's that? Can you hear me all right? All right. So last night, I was in bed, and it was probably like, I don't know, midnight or something like that. And I've got this bad habit of going on Amazon and scrolling through when I'm in bed, just looking at stuff that, you know, might catch my interest. And so last night, I was so cold because, you guys, I told you in my bedroom, I keep my window open, the fan on, no heat in the bedroom. And so it's like an ice box in there, and it's wonderful. It's so good. And so I'm in there kind of freezing. And I'm scrolling through Amazon, and I looked up this product called the Comfy. And what it is, it's a blanket that you wear. And so something about being tired and making, you know, purchase decisions is probably not the best thing to do. So it was like midnight, and I went ahead and I bought this thing, this Comfy. And it's so cool. If you guys saw it, I know you would probably talk trash about me now with it. But if you see me in it, you'd be like, I got to have one. It's a blanket with a hoodie, and it's like, you know, goes down to my shins, and they had pink, and I chose to go blue. But it's one of those blankets that you just put on. I thought, man, it's going to be so good. And so I woke up this morning, and Vicky was like, did you buy one of those blankets that you wear? And I'm like, yep, because she thought it was Samantha. Because Samantha's on our account too. And she's like, man, I thought Samantha ordered that. And I was like, nope, we did. And so, but anyways, David is been wearing a Comfy. He's comfortable. And he has been subduing his enemies. And what we saw on Sunday was that God was trying to warn David in chapter 10 for what was coming tonight in chapter 11. And the point that God was trying to make with David was that when he stays at home and when he's gets his feet up on the couch and he's like, my reign is secure, I'm strong, Israel's secure, and he sends Joab out to fight. Joab goes out to fight, and there was the Ammonites and the Syrians. And what we saw about Joab was when he was beating the Ammonites, him and his brother Abishai, it said that the Ammonites took off, they split, and Joab let the Ammonites return back home to their village. And you all right? That's okay, man. Hey, there's a bunch of food in there if you want to grab a plate and bring it in here. Okay, cool. There's coffee too. That's all right, man. It's perfect entrance. So, but there's coffee and food if you want some. So anyways, so David sends Joab out to fight his battles, and Joab was conquering the Ammonites. The Ammonites split, and him and Abishai let them go back to their home. Then the Syrians, who the Ammonites hired, it's kind of complicated, but we'll get through it. They hire the Syrians to fight for them, but then they end up splitting. And then the Syrians are there, and they're like, man, the people that hired us to fight for them ended up splitting. And so they take off, and there's David hears about all of this, and he's like, forget this, I'm going to go down there, and I'm going to fight. And so David goes down there, and he conquers the Syrians. It was like 41,000 Syrians. And what God was trying to show David in that battle, there was like a spiritual picture that God was showing David that when he is not where he should be, when he's not in his lane that God has him in on the daily, things get weird. And it's just like any of us, you guys. If we're not in the lane that God has us in each and every day, And we know what that lane is with God. Fellowship with God. We're walking with the Lord. Everything's good. And we're staying in that. But sometimes we can get off the side and things get crazy and weird. And so God's showing David, listen, when you go out and fight, there's victory. When you stay at home, you're just going to lose. And now what we see in chapter 11 is it starts out like this in verse 1. And it happened in the spring of the year, at the time when the kings go out to battle, that David sent Joab again, his servants with him, and all Israel, and they destroyed the people of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David remained at Jerusalem. Dang, didn't he not just get the picture of like staying at home? So Joab goes out, and this time they beat the Ammonites. They finish that work that they started. And it says that when it was in the springtime, when the kings go out to war, and this was a time where you got baseball season, basketball season, football season, whatever, the kings had a season to go out and fight. So what they would do is they would put war on hold for the winter, because no one wants to be out there when it's all wet and cold and nasty, especially fighting somebody. So what they would do is they would call this truce, and they would say, hey, man, we hate your guts. And they're like, we hate you too. But I'll tell you what, let's just call a truce, and I'll see you next spring. And when I see you, we're going to get our war on. So David sits back at home. His guys go out, and there's this war. And it says, then it happened, verse 1. Then it happened, verse 2. Then it happened, verse 14. And when it says it happened, it means the biggest mistake David ever came and made in his entire life, where he's going to end up having adultery with Bathsheba. It's where David is in that place where this sin of wanting to sleep with Bathsheba promises David everything. He's like, this girl is going to be so hot. She's great. Great personality, she's popular and all this stuff. And he's got all these ideas. But we're going to see that it happened where he actually sleeps with Bathsheba. And the reason why is because David's attention wasn't where God wanted his intention to be. God's attention for David was to be on the battle, to be on the war, to be diligent, to get after it. And so being that David's got his attention where he shouldn't have had it, we're going to see that it's going to cause some problems. It says in verse 2, then it happened one evening that David arose from his bed and he walked on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof, he saw a woman bathing. And the woman was very beautiful to behold. And so David sent and inquired about the woman. And someone said, is this not Bathsheba's daughter of Elam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And then David sent messengers, and he took her, and she came to him, and he lay with her, for she was cleansed from her impurity. And she returned to her house, and the woman conceived. And so she sent and told David, and she said that I am with child. So David, before he goes into adultery, it says that he wakes up in the middle of the night. And he goes pacing around because the Benadryl wasn't working, the sleep medication was wearing off, whatever. But he didn't have rest. And the reason why David didn't have rest, and the reason why he was up in the middle of the night and pass and going back and forth in the evening, was because before he ever committed adultery, he had stepped away from God already. He's at home. He's out of his lane. He's not with God. He's not listening to God. And so he's got this uneasiness in his life. And I think there's a principle there, you guys, that we can't have peace in our life if we're walking contrary to the Lord. We're going to be up at night. It's going to be hard to sleep. We're going to be burdened down with cares and concerns of the world because, man, if we're not right with the Lord, you guys, it's going to have a problem having peace in our life. David's up, he's pacing back and forth, and as he's pacing back and forth, he looks down and he sees Bathsheba out there in the, she's taking a bath, like out in the open. Now, I wanted to ask the ladies something about this. I just wanted to ask the ladies. Do you think she knew that David could see her from where she was at? Would you? Would you know that if your shower was visible to somebody on the street? I think she knew. I think she knew. I think she knew exactly what she was doing. And she's out there acting immodest, and she's showing it all for everybody to see. And by the way, at Ark Bible, we have a saying here that modest is hottest. And we get that from the scriptures, Bonnie, because in 2 Timothy, it says that women are to adorn themselves with modest apparel and preparity and moderation. So this girl is out there, and David sees it. And the problem is here, not that Bathsheba was throwing it out there to see, it's that David was fixated on it. And instead of allowing his eyes to bounce off of it, they rested on it. And there's a principle there, you guys, when it comes to lust and things. Sometimes, you know, we can't help it. When there's people that are not dressing modestly, or maybe they're like, I don't know, they're throwing it out there for everybody to see in one way or another. And there's no sin when we see that stuff. There's no sin in that. But the problem of it is when our eyes, instead of bouncing off of it, rests on it. And now what we're going to see is that there's a problem, because David's going to have a progression to his digression, where he goes from looking to thinking to acting. And that's what he said. The Bible tells us that David was checking her out, and then that wasn't good enough. So then he inquires of her, you know, who's her family? He's checking out her Facebook profile. Who's her friends? Where does she live? What does she do for a job? Where's she work at? And then he says, hey, listen, I want you to go and get this girl for me. And when we look at this, we can say, dang, what happened, David, that all of a sudden, man, you're going to go crazy like this? Well, it didn't start here, did it? It started way back in 2 Samuel, I think it was around chapter 3, where you remember David started acquiring wives and more wives and more wives. And he went from acquiring women to acquiring now a married woman. This is Uriah the Hittite's wife. And so David, when he asked, and they're like, some guy comes up and he says, this girl's married. Question mark, David, what are you doing asking about this? And so David asks her to come over and summons her up. And then he ends up committing adultery with her. And so David's problem was, is he didn't separate himself from the situation. And that's what Jesus said, you guys. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 47, Jesus said, if your eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Now, Jesus isn't talking about actually cutting off our hand, plucking out our eyes, because, man, if that was the case, we'd be walking around with blind and no hands or feet or anything. But what Jesus was saying is that sin is serious, and you got to deal with it in a way to where you just don't deal with it. You cut it off. So if the computer, if the images on the computer are causing you to sin, you cut the computer off and you throw it out the window. If there's people that you're hanging around and they're thrashing your walk with the Lord, you cut those people off. If there's images that you see, if there's books that you read, if there's places that you go, when Jesus says, cut that stuff off, that's what he's saying. Get rid of it, because it's not worth it. He says it's better to enter into heaven lame than hell whole. And so instead of cutting it off and separating himself from the situation, and you know what? David wasn't lonely. This wasn't like he was single and, you know, he's like, you know, hanging out for waiting. He's been married. He's got like seven wives at this point. And that's the problem. It started way back then. It just escalates. And so now David goes from adultery, sleeping with her, and it says that she is with child. In verse 6, then David sent Joab. And you guys remember Joab? This guy's tough. He's a man's man. He's into fighting and stuff. He's into doing things actually God's way a lot of the time. He did mess up before, but this guy's pretty solid. And David goes to Joab, and he sent to Joab saying, send me Uriah the Hittite. And Joab sent Uriah to David. And when Uriah had come to him, David asked how Joab was doing. That's kind of weird. Joab, go get Uriah. And then when Uriah shows up, he's asking Uriah, hey, how's Joab? If I was Uriah, I'd be like, why didn't you just ask him yourself, man? He just got done asking him to come and get me. What's up? You could ask Joab. You know how Joab's doing? So David asked Uriah how Joab is doing and how the people were doing and how the war prospered. And David said to Uriah, you know, go on down to your house and wash your feet. And so Uriah departed from the king's house, and a gift of food from the king followed him. So David sent in this boy some room service. He's got the bottle of wine. There's some pasta, maybe some jazz music. He's like, man, go down and see your wife. It's been a minute. You've been out here fighting, and, you know, your wife's probably lonely. What's going on? David's trying to cover his sin. Bathsheba's pregnant. There's some stuff going down. So David's like, man, I got to figure out how to deal with this. And so it says in verse 9, but Uriah, this guy is so cool. He's so faithful. Slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his Lord and did not go down to his house. So when they told David, saying, Uriah didn't go to his house, David said to Uriah, did you not come from a long journey? Why did you not go down into your house? And Uriah said to David, the ark and Israel and Judah are dwelling in the tents, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in the open fields. Shall I then go to my house, eat, drink, and lie with my wife? As you live and as your soul lives, I will not do such a thing. And then David said to Uriah, okay, wait here today also, and tomorrow I will let you depart. And so Uriah remained in Jerusalem that day and the next. And now when David called him, he ate and he drank before him. And David made him drunk. And at the evening, he went out to lie on his bed with the servants of his Lord, but he did not go down to his house with Bathsheba. And so David is trying to come up with a plan to get Uriah to get down there and sleep with Bathsheba. He does everything to set the situation up, and Uriah wouldn't go. Now, how many of you, and I was wondering this question, how many of you think after David's prodding and prodding, man, go be with your wife, I'm sending you room service, wouldn't go. Next night, hey, let me get you drunk, and wouldn't go. How many of you guys think, honestly, that Uriah knew something was up with his wife? He knew. Yeah. Exactly. And I think he had that spiritual intuition that something was wrong. His wife is sleeping with somebody else, and I think he knows it's David. In fact, and as we get into it, I think a lot of people knew it was David. And what does David do? He tries to get him drunk. Why? Because David knew what the devil knows. That if you can get drunk, then bad things end up happening. If you're wasted and you want to live your life like that, all you got to do for me, like talking about me in my life, when I was living those years like that, all I had to do was look back and say, is this what I want? Like, am I stoked? I've never heard anybody come to me, you guys, and say, man, my life is so much better because I'm drunk all the time. But I have seen countless lives, marriages, families, friendships, homes destroyed because of dope and alcohol. And what does David do? He tries to cover his sin up by getting this guy wasted. And this is what the Bible says about that. Actually, you want to know something interesting? Solomon's mom, Bathsheba, when we look at Proverbs 31, this is what Solomon's mom said. It says, the words of King Lemuel, the utterance which was that his mother taught him. And Lemuel is another name for Solomon. It was like Bathsheba's pet name for him. You know how I call punk? It was kind of like calling Solomon that. And she said, and this is what Bathsheba taught her son. And I think this situation, when you read it in Proverbs 31, this situation that's going on here must have come into her mind. And this is what she told Solomon. What, my son? And what, my son of my womb? And what, son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings. For it is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes intoxicating drink, lest they drink and forget the law. Meaning, lest they get drunk, lest they get high, lest they're wasted. And now they don't even know what God's saying or what God wants. Because they walk around, they're just like, man, I wish God would speak to me. I'm so confused. I'm so messed. I just wish I could hear from God. Well, they can't hear from God. Because they're so thrashed that they're not hearing the word of the Lord. And it says in verse 5, and pervert the justice of all the afflicted. Give strong drink to him who is dying. Give wine to those who are bitter of heart. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. So when we're looking at just like drinking and being a slave to alcohol, you guys, that type of situation, the Bible tells us, first of all, drinking's not a sin. We know Jesus drank. Getting thrashed and not being able to think straight is a sin. And Jesus never did that. But what the Bible's telling us is that people that are like, man, if they're going to get wasted all the time, it's because they've got no hope. Because they're bitter of spirit. They think their life is, it's over. But the sad thing about that is when we turn to Christ, you guys, there's a whole new life. There's a whole new beginning. There's a whole new way of doing things. And so David knows that if he could get Uriah drunk, then his sin would be covered and all would be worked out. And Uriah doesn't do it. And so David's thinking at this point, he's got a plan that's going to get Uriah out of the way and David off the hook. So he's already tried to get Uriah to do it the other way. Now David's going to do something totally out in left field. It says, then David said, in verse 14, in the morning it happened that David wrote a letter to Joab, and he sent it by the hand of Uriah. And he wrote in the letter saying, set Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle and then retreat from him. Dang. That he may be struck down and die. And so it was that while Joab was besieging the city, that he assigned Uriah to the place where he knew there would be valiant men. And then the men of the city came out and they fought with Joab. And some of the men of the servants of David fell. And Uriah the Hittite died also. And then Joab sent and told David all the things concerning the war and charged the messenger, saying, when you have finished telling David the matter of the war to the king, if it happens that the king's wrath rises, and he says to you, why did you approach so near to the city when you fought? Did you not know that they would shoot from the wall? Who struck Abimelech, the son of Jerubbaal, Was it not a woman who cast a piece of millstone on him from the wall so that he died? Why did you go so near to the wall? And Joab then told the servant, then you shall say, your servant Uriah, the Hittite, is dead also. So David, now to cover up his adultery, commits murder. And he has the perfect plan. He's like, okay, I finally got rid of this guy. No big deal. Nobody's going to know. It's done. And he thinks that he's gotten away with it. And it's kind of like the fish. You know, when fish see bait, all they see is the bait. And they grab that bait, boom! And then they swim off and they think, man, that was great. I just took a bite and bailed. And then the hook gets set. Bam! And David has no idea the hook that's going to get set. David went from looking at Bathsheba to sleeping with her. And you know what? Jesus said that when you look at a woman with lust in your heart, that you've committed adultery with her already. Now, here's the thing about it. Some people could be like, well, you know what? Being that I've already thought it, I might as well do it. I mean, I've already done it. Fools talk like that. Fools talk like that. Because the actual act of adultery is far worse than the thought of adultery. But there's some people that say, well, I've already thought about it. Jesus says, you know, if you think about it, you've already done it. Might as well do it. And there's a ton of pain and a ton of consequences that come from the actual act. And so David, he sleeps with Bathsheba, says that he laid with her because he's acting on his feelings instead of thinking about it. And had David thought about it, and this is the thing, you guys, if we could just get to a place where we would pause and pray before we make decisions out of impulse, decisions out of feelings, decisions out of despair, out of depression, fear, anxiety, whatever. This is the one thing that's always helped me, is to pause and think about it for a second. Just for maybe a day, just maybe a day. Think about it. Because had David paused for a second and just thought about it for this day, this is the consequences that happened because of this. Because David didn't stop when he's, okay, he thought about it. Okay, that's fine. You know, ask for forgiveness. Be done with it. You don't have to go through with it. You don't have to go through with it. But instead, David lets those thinkings and those feelings get in the way of his actions. And what happens because of it? An unwanted baby, the murder of his friend Uriah, one son is murdered by another son, a civil war breaks out because of his sons, a son imitates his dad's lust and lack of self-control for other women. And what we're going to see in the next couple of chapters, it was Absalom, David's son, saw how David dealt with women. And you know what Absalom does? He tries to make a move on the kingdom of God by taking David's throne, his father, and he takes all of David's concubines, his wives, up to the roof. And he has sex with them in front of everybody in broad daylight. That's pretty gnarly. David's kid took his women and slept with them in front of the nation on a roof in broad daylight. What David did in his heart, his son ended up doing in front of everybody. There's an old saying, you guys, that says, sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you can pay. And had David took a moment and just been like, man, just take a day, pray, really press into God about it, and see what happens. So David doesn't do that. And now his situation goes from bad to worse. Bathsheba's pregnant. And he has Uriah killed. And that's just such a reminder, you guys, as we get ready to wrap this up, about our sin. And this is kind of a hard passage. It's kind of like a downer because there's so much garbage going on here. But here's what we see. If David would immediately have repented and just gone to the Lord, all this stuff could have been avoided. All of it could have been avoided. God would have given him strength to withstand all of this stuff. But instead, he goes through with it. And it says in verse 14, he goes from adultery to murder. And I was wondering about when David told Joab, I want you to go and send Uriah out there and then pull back from him. From what we know of Joab, I wonder if Joab was thinking, David, you're so close to God. You write all these psalms in the Bible and you worship and man, you're the man of God's own heart. You're so close to God. Why don't you go and do it? I wonder if Joab thought like that. I would. I would have been like, man, how you want me to go do your filthy, dirty work? You're writing psalms to God, and then you come to me to get this guy out there to murder him because you're sleeping with his wife? The hypocrisy. And so Joab, even though he knows it's a bad decision militarily, he still does it because he's going to be obedient to the king. And so in verse 16, in verse 18, then Joab sent and told David all the things concerning the war and that the Hittite was dead also. And then verse 22, so the messenger went and came and told David all that Joab had sent him to say. And in verse 23, and the messenger said to David, surely the men prevailed against us and came out to us in the field. And then we drove them back as far as the entrance of the gate. And then the archers shot from the wall at your servants, and some of the king's servants are dead. And your servant, Uriah the Hittite, is dead also. And then David said to the messengers, thus you shall say to Joab, don't let this thing displease you. For the sword devours one as well as the other. Strengthen your attack against the city and overthrow it, and so encourage him. And when the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband, was dead, she mourned for her husband. And when her mourning was over, David sent for her, brought her to his house, and she became his wife and bore him a son. But the thing that David had done had displeased the Lord. So, David tells Uriah, hey, you know, this kind of stuff happens, man. Uriah was just wrong place at the wrong time, you know. It's interesting because this exact phrase, the sword devours one and the other, this is going to come back on David with his family. And think about all that David had to create to get out of this sin. He had to lie. He had to lie about it. He had to kill his friend. He had to put his army in jeopardy. And all of these things. And at the end of it, when he thinks he's gotten away with it, this chapter ends with the Lord was displeased. Meaning that God saw everything that David did and it displeased him. And we're going to stop it there, but I'm going to tell you guys what, on Sunday, now God comes into the picture. And what's going to happen to David is it's pretty gnarly. And if David just would have got to that place with temptation, with lust, with sin, and just said, man, Lord, I want to cut this thing off right now before it gets any kind of crazier. The Lord would have stepped in and given him power and strength, forgiven him of what he did do, and would have restored him. But it just goes to show you how quickly sin can get out of hand when you don't deal with sin. And that's where we're going to close tonight. You guys, let's close out with prayer. And we got Guy and Erica in San Diego coming back, and they're making their trip back. So we want to make sure we're praying ahead of protection around them. And any other prayer requests, you guys? Want to pray over the men's conference? That goes well. Matt? Family? Got it. You got it. Yeah. Everybody stay safe. And yep. Man, there's so much stuff going on out there, you guys. Yeah, our community, man. We need to pray for our community, you guys. Anybody else? Unspoken prayer requests. Maybe you got something you want to pray about and you don't want to talk about it. Anybody got an unspoken prayer request? Okay, cool. We'll pray about that. All right. Yeah, I've got a friend that's battling with liver damage. We want to pray for him. Yeah, so, all right, you guys, let's pray. And also, too, when we leave tonight, you guys, make sure you take leftovers home or out of here. There's so much food out there, you guys, that please take it home. I don't want to take it home because bad things happen. Bad things. I end up eating it all. And then I'm like, seriously, I've got so much conviction. I feel like David. Like, I feel like I've really sinned because I eat so much of it. I got it, please. And the stroganoff was legit. Bonnie, you did such a good job. The cookies were great. The green beans, they were good. We needed them. Sometimes you need vegetables. And they were excellent textured. But those cookies were delicious. All right, let's pray. Father, we love you and we just thank you for your blessings. And Lord, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. So that we so desperately need, Lord, when we drop the ball, Lord, when we get outside of our lane, like we saw David here tonight, Lord, just one thing led to a worse thing. And Lord, I just pray over us that you give us the strength to cut that stuff off, Father, and just to remember that, listen, we don't have to let things go too far. And that whenever something like this comes up, Lord, whether it's an issue of temptation or lust or sin, Lord, that we take a minute, we pause, we praise, we pray, we get with you. We confess our sin, God. And Lord, I just pray that you give us strength, Lord, over our church and our community. Lord, we want to pray for our community, that you bless this community, God. Strengthen this community. Lord, we pray over Matt and his family, God, that you put a hedge of protection around them. Bless them, watch over them, God, over the babies, over Ashley and Tammy and Mark, and just bless their family, God. We pray over Guy and Erica and the babies that you protect them and that you get them home safe, Lord, from California, and watch over them. Father, we pray over all the unspoken prayer requests here tonight that are heavy on our hearts, that we can come before you, Lord, and ask for your healing. We can ask for your strength, Lord. We can ask for your direction and vision. We're so thankful, Father, that you never forsake us or leave us. And what a beautiful picture that even though all this sin in David's life that happened, you never left him. You were always beside him. And you did whatever it took to get a hold of him. And we thank you for that act of mercy in our lives, Lord, that you always forgive us. You're quick to forgive, Lord, and to heal us. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.